know, Florida, with its abundant coastal waters and very diverse marine life, absolutely offers a paradise for anglers seeking that adventure. And what I feel really is the most important about why I'm out there, now that's the tranquility. Inshore kayak fishing, it's an increasingly popular activity, and it allows the enthusiast to really immerse themselves in the beauty of what the state has to offer while pursuing their passion of kayak fishing. What I really love about inshore kayak fishing, it provides for me a unique and very, very intimate experience compared to, you know, most of those traditional fishing methods. With just a kayak and a paddle, you can have the freedom to explore these very pristine and secluded areas that are not really accessible by even the flatboats. Florida's diverse ecosystems really become that playground waiting for all of us to discover. And the stealthy approach of a kayak allows those anglers to, you know, approach those fish very quietly, setting the stage for what could be a very exciting and memorable fishing experience.
John Graves Kayak Fishing is sponsored by Strictly Sail and Kayaks, located in Blue Ash, Ohio. They've been there since 1978. What were you doing in 1978, huh? Check them out at strictlysailinc.com. Florida's inshore waters are known for their incredible diversity of fish species. Whether you are targeting that beautiful red or the high-flying tarpon or the very hard-hitting and aggressive snook, maybe you're just looking for that trophy-sized speckled trout. With each cast of the line, a kayak fisherman has a chance to hook into some of the most sought-after game fish ever, testing your skills and your adrenaline. For me, beyond the thrill of catching fish, inshore kayak fishing offers a very immersive experience that stimulates all of those senses. You feel the warmth of the sun on your skin. Here I am just simply gliding so smoothly across this calm, clear water. I embrace that refreshing touch of the ocean breeze and the sprays of salt water navigating around these very diverse habitats, watching with just tremendous awe as egrets and herons, they soar overhead, they dive down into the water catching their prey. Dolphins will playfully weave throughout the water and around you. And with each stroke of the paddle, a kayak fisherman can fully immerse themselves in the sights, sounds, and the sense of what this state has to offer with its coastal ecosystem. Now, one of the greatest advantages of being a kayak angler is the ability to access these untouched fishing spots that are not easily reached by those much larger vessels. You have hidden oyster bars and shallow grass flats, very ultra narrow channels, and very secluded backwaters where a kayak fisherman has the opportunity to fish in these areas where others can really get back to. And these hidden gems that you can find in your kayak often harbor bountiful populations of game fish. And this is a welcome challenge for me and other anglers who really want to test their skills and knowledge of that water. Fishing out of a kayak in the inshore allows an angler to connect closely with nature while really emphasizing that importance that we all should have and share in conservation. With the absence of loud engine noises and a minimal disruption to the water's surface, a kayak fisherman can navigate these waters without causing unnecessary stress to that marine ecosystem. And by practicing my favorite catch, photo, and release techniques, respecting fishing regulations, and preserving habitats, kayak fishermen contribute to the sustainable future of Florida's very, very precious coastal environments.
I'm not even necessarily sure that I can get through this without tearing up, choking up a little bit. I'm not out here today in my kayak to do any fishing really, but just to sort of filter through some thoughts and emotions that it is all pretty hard yesterday. And I mean all of us, I mean myself, Gigi, the grandkids, the three boys, Tennyson, Harrison, and Jameis, and Brittany and Ryan Strother. We were truly affected by some trauma yesterday, and each and every one of us has our own way of dealing with that or not. Sometimes people can't deal with this type of stuff. Miracle of life. We saw the want to live. We saw and we experienced the want to have something live. We were all in our pool here in Florida, having a great time. It's the first time that the grandkids were able to come down and swim in the pool. We had bought a couple floats for them, one shaped like an alligator. I was on the back of that alligator float, and the game was that if I touched them with the nose of the alligator, they would be out of the game. The alligator got them. And as you can imagine, in our pool with three grandkids, myself on an alligator float, we were all kicking and having a lot of fun. Water splashing everywhere, a lot of noise. And in all of that excitement, we failed to pay attention to things. And that one thing that we really failed to pay attention to was the dogs. And unfortunately, Momo, our French bulldog, fell victim to the water. And French bulldogs can't swim. Or the dam. They're like cement blocks. And nobody noticed her struggling. We continued to play. And we all stopped to rest as we were pretty exhausted chasing each other around. And one of the grandsons, thankfully, Harrison, noticed Momo at the bottom of the pool. And in his somewhat awkward social way of not really understanding or not knowing what's happening, he said, "Taba," which is his nickname for me. He said, "Taba, I don't think that Momo can swim very well because she looks dead at the bottom of the pool." And this stopped us all in our tracks. questioning, what did he just say and what does he mean? So as we all look around, I looked around for the dog. And I looked at the bottom of the pool and there was Momo, our French bulldog, lifeless at the bottom of the pool. I dove down and retrieved her. I remember praying, like in real time, give me the strength. I just need one arm. I grabbed that one arm from her and I brought her up out of the water and just literally flung her up onto the cement. It was then that Ryan, our son-in-law, noticed as he came out the door that I was like, wow, I was being pretty aggressive with Momo. She just must fell in the water. But it was at the moment when he saw me open up her mouth and attempt to blow air into it and starting my chest compressions on her that he knew this was very serious. Meanwhile, the children are screaming. Gigi is screaming. Brittany is screaming. And it was chaos. I continued to chest compressions on Boba for what we all think was around 10 minutes. I can tell you right now that my arm, my wrist, my right wrist is terribly hurting right now. So I guess you just don't realize what you're doing in the adrenaline of all of it. And there were just absolutely really no signs of her being alive. And but I kept chest compressions going. She was as blue and gray and gone as you could imagine. I saw her eyes dilations move a little bit. And I thought, there's a chance here. We got a chance. But she was just so cold. I did recognize, oddly enough, that if I take her very big mouth of the French bulldog and her those loops, those loose jowls that they have, and I seal it up around my face like an oxygen mask, I can blow in there where her lungs are just inches away. And I was able to get her lungs filled with some air. Water came out of her. Probably a gallon or so of water. And keeping her from swallowing her tongue, I had my pinky finger of my left hand between her tongue and her teeth. And I continued chest compressions. We called 911, had them on the phone. They weren't very much help. And I, you know, not much they can do. I guess. So I continued chest compressions. And her eyes came back to me. And I could see her eyes getting some clarity. And the moment she bit my fingernail like she did when she was a puppy, softly with her canine teeth, I knew she was in there. And we got her back. She came back after 10 plus minutes of this. And she gave me a kiss. And she got up on her four legs. She walked off and I passed out. But we took her to the emergency room, hospital for the dogs here and animals in Deltona, Florida. And by golly, she's just as bright-eyed and bushy-tailed. If that dog thought that we smothered her with love beforehand, she has no clue what is in her future. Lessons learned for us. Remain vigilant. Always have a watchful eye with the young ones around the water. I imagine that there's many infants that pass away, falling victims to drowning here in the state of Florida from the very same thing happening. But if, God forbid, something does happen, remain vigilant. Even if you feel that there isn't a heartbeat there, keep trying. Keep trying, because the will to live is amazing, strong, and resilient.